Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. Fight the good fight. And I've been thinking about that because you know what? The journey we trod in this world is a fight. We've talked about the book of Revelation, and we've talked about the word Armageddon, and we know that as Lutherans, we believe that that's the battle we live in this world, the battle between good and evil. We've talked about the fact that as Lutherans, we know that we have this great paradox going in our lives, that we are sinners and saints at the same time. So we know that living in this world is truly a fight. I mean, turn on the news. Our faith is under attack every day. Our lives are under attack every day. We see it going around the world. It's discouraging as we hear of mall shootings and mall stabbings and bombs going off in New York, and the list goes on and on. It's discouraging to us, and we begin to internally, we fight about those things. We struggle. We fight because we want to support our police officers and love them, but yet we see things going on sometimes like what happened in Tulsa where it wasn't very good. And let's be honest, there are race problems in our country. If you deny that, well, they're there, and it's kind of sad. And it's hard, because here we're thrown into the midst of this, and we are told we have to love each other. We have to love each other no matter what. And you have to love your enemy. And you got to love yourself. And I don't know about you, but sometimes that's the hardest fight of all, is loving myself. After all, God says, love your neighbor as yourself. If you can't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor. I don't know if you can fully love God. So it's a hard world we live in. The battle rages on. Not to talk about turning 40 and I'm starting to get aches and pains that I never knew I had. And parts of my body I didn't know existed. Life is hard. So it reminds me of a great pastor friend of mine. Back when I was in PLI, Pastoral Leadership Institute, they put our groups together. You had a collegial group of 4 to 5 pastors and their wives. And we got together, and there was this guy. He looked really strange. He was bald, and he had glasses, and he had a beard. He looked really strange. I've never seen anything like it in my life. But he was kind of different, and he had on a bracelet, and it had like, what do you call those stud things on them, you know, sticking out? And I'm like, okay, this guy's scary. But he really wasn't. And as I got to know Bob, he was a pastor and became a good friend of mine. As we got to know him, Bob shared something about himself, a ministry that he had started himself that was very effective. He beat people up. He did. He was an MMA boxer. And he beat people up in fights, and they called him the Pastor Blaster. And he would beat them up, and afterwards, they would believe in Jesus. I guess I would too, because he was a pretty tough guy. And I saw videos of him, and let me tell you, you don't want to make your pastor mad. Nobody complains in that church. That's pretty amazing. But Bob was a really awesome guy, and he was so fun to talk to because it was like unlike any pastor I'd known before. I mean, he was. He and his wife did MMA together, and they would do demonstrations together for us. It was the craziest thing you've ever seen, but we had a good time. But Bob taught me some lessons in life that he learned from fighting, that he learned from his time in being an MMA boxer and now an MMA trainer and coach. And I want to share some of those with you today because they really do apply to our earthly life and our eternal life. And the first lesson that I learned from Bob that he taught me was that struggles are good. They produce endurance. Right? Have you ever seen MMA boxing? Anybody? Has anybody ever seen it? It's really weird because, I mean, they are very physical. They use karate, they use martial arts, they use punching and kicking, and my golly, I would, like, run the other way. I would cry. I would just give up and lay down and say, you win, because I could not do it. I mean, it's really tough, and sometimes those guys get pretty battered when they come out. Bob's lost teeth, had gouges out of his skin, but he loves doing it because he gets to beat people up and tell them about Jesus. But he said to me one day, you know what I've learned from this boxing is that struggles are good because they produce endurance. And we have struggles in our lives, don't we? Those struggles come in, whether it be with our finances, our health, whether it be with trying to love people that are unlovable, with our children or our grandchildren or our parents. Those struggles are there. Sometimes it's internal struggles. Depression and mental illness, I mean, that's what affects us in our world today. Let's be realistic. But the main and great thing about those struggles, especially for you and I and Jesus, is that as we give Jesus those struggles, as we turn them over, and as we wrestle with those struggles, it produces strength and endurance in our lives to keep going on in this world. Right? Because if we give up, what happens? If we give up, we wither away. We start running from things. We don't face life head on. And then we fall deeper into darkness, despair, and depression in life. So struggle does produce strength and endurance for you and me. And that's the exact reason God allows those things into our life, and they're miserable. I don't like them, and who does? I will caution you, never pray for patience. And yes, I'm your pastor telling you that. Because when you pray for patience, God has a habit of teaching it to you. It's hard. Life and the struggle is hard. But the good news is, in fighting that fight, we get closer to God. Our relationship is strengthened. We cling to His cross more. And as we do those struggles and go through them, the world sees Jesus in us more and more. The next lesson is learning from loss is a good lesson to carry in life. Well, we lose things, don't we? And we do. I mean, I've been in the office before, and I've heard people in the office say, "Oh, I've lost my keys, I don't know where they are." Or, "I've lost my cell phone, I don't know where it is." We lose a loved one, and we're sad, right? We lose a friendship, and it hurts us. The reality is, as we go through losses in life, we learn a lesson, a very firm lesson, and I think it's a good lesson, that God never loses us. When we experience loss, we have a hope in that loss that the world does not have because of Jesus. A hope that is put into us through our baptism. A hope that is strengthened through the gospel of Jesus Christ. A hope that has all endurance and strength because of the struggles we go through. A hope that is reinforced as we receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. A hope that is rejoicing in us as we come here and confess our sins and receive the forgiveness of God. A hope in looking in the mirror and saying, "Child of God," as we see our reflection, a hope that does not disappoint us, a hope that we know that Jesus, through everything in life, even the losses we experience in this world, mean nothing because of the gain that we have in Christ. That eternal life is yours and mine, that Jesus holds on to us and promises He's never going to lose us. He's never going to give up on us. He never leaves our side. So out of those losses comes a hope in rejoicing, even in losing that loved one here, because heaven has gained another soul, and we know we'll see them again. Loss produces a good lesson in our life, that we have hope in Jesus, and that cannot disappoint us. The next lesson, he said, you will make mistakes. He would always talk about getting in there and letting his guard down and anticipating a right hook and it was a left hook or whatever it might be, or anticipating a martial arts move and it wasn't the right one, and he would lose and he would mess up because of his mistake. And early on, he said, in his boxing career, he'd get so mad at himself. He would beat himself up and he'd feel useless and think about giving up and just running away from it all. The reality is, you will make mistakes. We are sinners, and I tell you what, I'm a good mistake maker. I make more mistakes in my life than I do right. That's the reality of living in this world. The reality is, because we are sinful and live in a fallen world, even when we think we're doing the right thing, guess what? Sometimes what happens? We realize, the right thing wasn't right at all. You will make mistakes because we are sinners. But the great news is, when we make those mistakes, we have a God and Father who smiles upon us and so gently and lovingly picks us back up and dusts us off and bandages our wounds and says, "I love you. Keep on going. Your sins are forgiven." That's what Jesus did for us. When he died on the cross, he righted all those mistakes. He corrected them. So when God looks at us, he doesn't see a mistake anymore. He sees a beautiful creation. He sees his child that is loved and redeemed and perfect because of Jesus. When Bob said he would let that feeling of giving up and running away and feeling like a loser in front of people, he'd talk about the fact that that was shame in his life. We've talked about shame. That's a weapon from Satan. Guilt isn't. Guilt is from the Holy Spirit. Guilt causes us to turn around and run back to Jesus and say, "I'm sorry." Shame leads us away from Jesus. It wants us to run away. It tells us we're no good. It tells us we're bad. It tells us we're a failure as a parent or a grandparent. We're a failure at being a spouse. That's what shame tells us. And the reality is, that's Satan. Because of Jesus, we can can laugh in his face and say, no, I'm not a mistake. I am not evil. I am not bad. I am redeemed and saved by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We will make mistakes, and that's okay. The quicker we admit we make mistakes, the faster we admit that we're sinners, the more joyful we can be in the gospel. Because after all, if you're perfect, you have no need for Jesus. We will make mistakes. And then Bob said, there are times the pain is so great in the fight that you have to have help getting up. Would you agree with that? What's the hardest thing to do in life, especially for men? Admit we need help. In studying addiction for many years, one of the things that became very noticeable to people in studying addiction is that one of the things an addict does as the spiral goes on in their life is they refuse to reach out to other people. They refuse to say, I need help. That goes along with mental illness, too. When I was at the ranch working on my PTSD, one of the things we did is we got in this big maze and they blindfolded us. And the reality was, it was a rope maze, and we'd go through this rope maze, and we would hold on, and there was no way out. We didn't know that. We thought there was, right? But there was no way out. And this exercise could take up to 2 hours. Because the goal of the exercise was to teach you to raise your hand and say, I need help getting out. That's how life is. That's the call of Christ in our lives. I've told you the story of Lazarus. He didn't come out of the tomb free from his binding. Jesus looked at the crowd and said, unbind him. That's what we do. It gets painful in life. It's hard in life. We get lonely. We get sad. We get depressed. We want to give up. Sometimes life can be miserable as we deal with an illness, whatever it might be in our lives. All of us go through that at some point. If you haven't yet, I promise you, you will. Bad news. But the great thing about being a family in Jesus, and the great thing about Christ Lutheran Church, is it's truly a place where we can go and lift each other up. I can't imagine living in this world without somebody to lift me up. Stephanie does that for me. Living with a mental illness I describe very often is like being a prisoner inside your head, because sometimes the reality around you isn't perceived as the truth. I struggle sometimes wondering if people love me because of my mental illness, when I know you do. I don't doubt that. I know that with all my heart, but my perception sometimes is, do they really? And it takes Stephanie, or my wonderful staff, or you as a congregation doing what you did for me on Friday night to say, yeah, we do. But that's what we do for each other, right? What else would we do without it? So yeah, life has pain, and sometimes we need help getting up, and that's a good thing. Be kind to your opponent, showing mercy when you're ahead and picking them up is crucial. I liked that one. Because you know what? I was trained as a debater in school, and I like to debate. And boy, am I good at debating. And when I'm ahead of somebody, I continue to hammer them down because I like to win. What I've realized in life is then you become a jerk. And I don't want to be a jerk. And it goes for so many things in our lives, right? We get angry at somebody because they hurt our feelings or things didn't go our way. Oh, I'm really good at that, by the way. I don't like it when things don't go my way. We get upset with whatever it is in our life, and we start hammering against somebody. We start railing against somebody, even if it's in our own head, which is still damaging, by the way, because even if it's in your own head, they can tell, right? And sometimes in life, it's good to be kind to the person we're angry with or our enemy or our opponent. Stop when you're ahead and pick them up. Picking them up is crucial. Just as you need to be picked up, and I need to be picked up, there are others who need to be picked up. Being kind to your... Oh, I've already done that one. When you win, remember you didn't get there alone. That's a very valuable lesson. Bob would say, you know, every time I won in the early stages of my boxing career, I would think, yeah, look how good I am, and I'm great, and I never gave thanks or glory to those around me who helped me, my coach, my trainers, my wife. And the realization is when we win, when we're successful in life, guess what? The reality is we didn't get there alone. We have our spouse or our children or our loved ones or our parents doing it, but think about this. When we win in life, we didn't get there alone as Christians either. Jesus did it for us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why God loves doing things for us when we give him glory, because that's what God wants. He says, I'm a jealous God. The whole reason you're in existence is to give me glory, to show the world who I am, and to show them how much I love people. I always say that's why decision theology is so wrong. Because to stand up and say, I decided to follow Jesus, versus standing up and saying, God accepted me as his child when I was baptized. Do you see the difference? If I accept Jesus, I take the glory. If Jesus accepts me, who gets the glory? Jesus. And that's what he wants. He loves it. Remember, we're never alone in life. Remember when we feel like failures. Remember when we make those mistakes. Remember when we think we can't get to the end of whatever it is we're going through. That we have someone on our side who gives us victory. Victory over sin, victory over death, victory over the devil, victory over illness, victory over the grave. Jesus gives us victory as he sheds his blood and opens the tomb to everlasting life. We have victory. And in living our lives, giving him the glory and sharing that love with others so that he may see, he and all of heaven rejoices. It's so beautiful to him. The last thing that Bob taught me was this. And this kind of makes sense, so bear with me for a minute. Even when you're trying to kick the snot out of somebody, yeah, that's what he said. Even when you're trying to kick the snot out of somebody, they still need to know about Jesus. Isn't that true? Our neighbor who has the annoying yappy dog, that's me. Our child who doesn't take any direction and decides to go off and continue in the life and the path they're on. Our friend who hurt our feelings. Our coworker or our boss who just doesn't get it. The church that isn't working perfectly. You kind of catch my drift, right? They still need to hear about Jesus. Because after all, that's what it's truly all about. Fighting the good fight is the call in our lives to go through all the garbage the world throws our way and to show them in the midst of that the hope, the peace, the love, and the life that our God and Father lavishes upon us through Jesus. Fight the good fight, my brothers and sisters. Lay hold of this world and its life, and you have already conquered, because Jesus is alive in you. Amen.